Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette dated Wednesday, April 17, 2019. We begin today's reading with the article headlined, Suspected Killer of Ying Yang Zhang, Christensen Trial to be Live Streamed, Accommodation so Victim's Family Can Watch from Urbana Courthouse, by Ben Zichterman, Urbana. The trial of accused kidnapper and killer Brent Christensen will be streamed from the courthouse in Peoria to a viewing room at the Urbana Courthouse, a recognition of the interest the University of Illinois community has shown in the case. U.S. District Judge James Shadid approved the closed-circuit video to accommodate members of the public and the victim's family. Yingying Zhang, a visiting U of I scholar from China, was last seen June 9, 2017, entering Christensen's car near a bus stop on campus. Christensen told the FBI he let her out a few blocks away, while prosecutors believe he took her back to his apartment, where FBI biologists are expected to testify that Ms. Zhang's blood and DNA were found. She is presumed dead by the FBI, though her body hasn't been located. After she went missing, the local Chinese community, in particular, helped raise awareness about Ms. Zhang's disappearance and provided for her family when they stayed here for several months. Her family is planning to return to Illinois from China for the trial, according to their Urbana-based attorney, Steve Beckett, though they haven't decided whether they'll stay in Peoria, where the trial was moved, or Urbana, where they developed strong ties with the community. The judge acknowledged that the family had stated already it had a comfort level in Urbana. I think this was meant to address that if they choose to stay in Urbana, Beckett said Tuesday of the video feed to Urbana. They haven't determined yet whether they'd come to Urbana or try to establish a base in Peoria, he said. When Shadid moved the trial to Peoria, mostly for logistical reasons, he recognized the family's connections to Urbana. The factor which weighs most heavily against transfer of this case to the Peoria Division is the fact that the victim's family will likely be somewhat inconvenienced, Shadid wrote in December. However, he said other factors outweighed this, writing that the court believes the timely ruling on this issue 5 months ahead of the scheduled trial will allow the United States to assist the victim's family in developing support and ties to the Peoria community as well. And when the trial was pushed back from April to June 3, Shadid acknowledged the family's desire not to have proceedings start after the 2-year anniversary of Ms. Zhang's disappearance. The victim's family has already been inconvenienced by the change of venue, Shadid wrote in February. While it is perhaps a small consolation, the June 3, 2019 trial date accommodates the family's wishes. Beckett said he has never seen a case streamed to another courthouse before. It's new to me, he said, though he has used a video conference between a prison and a courtroom to reduce travel. Video is used with some frequency in the court, but not like this, Beckett said. I just think we're going to see a lot of new things we've never seen before. The court-controlled closed-circuit video feed was approved Tuesday by Shadid as part of a decorum order, which lays out the courtroom conduct expected at the trial. The viewing room in Urbana will be considered an extension of the Peoria courtroom, with all rules of conduct applying to both rooms during the trial. The trial is expected to last about 2 months, with jury selection and the guilt phase possibly wrapping up before Independence Day. If Christensen is convicted, it would be followed by a sentencing phase to determine whether he deserves life in prison or the death penalty. Champaign County Coroner, U of I student's death from fall under investigation. By Julie Wirth and Tim Dittman, Champaign. A University of Illinois student died over the weekend after falling off the roof of a home in Campustown. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup said Destiny Thomas, 21, of Urbana, was visiting a friend in the 100 block of John Street in Champaign when the incident occurred early Saturday morning. Ms. Thomas was taken to Carr Foundation Hospital, Urbana, and died at 11:51 a.m. Saturday of traumatic head injuries, according to Northrup. He said the death appears to be a tragic accident, but remains under investigation by the coroner's office and the Champaign Police Department. All we know is that she fell off the roof, and she was with a friend, he said. Ms. Thomas, a senior majoring in chemistry, was active with the campus group Students for Environmental Concerns, according to one of her professors, Bettina Francis. She was also enrolled in Francis's Environmental Toxicology and Health class this semester. I had, in fact, just hired her to work for me for the summer. I needed somebody who had a chemistry background, said Francis, professor of entomology and comparative biosciences. She was bright, she was engaged, she was interested in the material. It's just horrible, Francis said. She had also worked at the Art Theater in downtown Champaign since last summer, according to Executive Director Portia Garner, who called the news shocking and saddening. She described Ms. Thomas as a big help at the theater. A funeral service for Ms. Thomas is scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday at Leek and Sons Funeral Home, 7838 South Cottage Grove Avenue, Chicago, with a wake starting at 9 a.m. Coaches vs. Cancer in Gordyville. Country given. Auctioneer, everybody's got a little hillbilly in them. By Scott Ritchie, Gifford. Tickets for Tuesday night's Kickin' Cancer dinner and auction were approaching sellout status in January, with less than 50 available. The increased demand prompted the addition of more tickets for the Coaches vs. Cancer event at Gordyville. The crowd at Gordyville, USA reached 750 on Tuesday, up 150 from the event's first year at the venue last spring. I think it's unique, Illini men's basketball coach Brad Underwood said. Everybody likes to throw on a good pair of cowboy boots and know we're going to be in a relaxed atmosphere and know we're going to have a lot of fun. Two special guests added to the fun Tuesday night with South Carolina coach Frank Martin and former Nebraska coach Ty Miles in attendance. Miles jumped in right away, calling out numbers for raffle winners during the tailgate before the event formally started. Knowing these guys were coming in was a big part of the crowd, Underwood said. They're an attraction. All of us have been on different boards with Coaches vs. Cancer. They all run their own events, and we've all been to theirs. They understand what we're trying to do here, and they were willing to come in and help. Jimmy Hannigan was in charge of Tuesday night's auction. The regular Gordyville, USA auctioneer has been attending the annual Coaches vs. Cancer event since it was held at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. One of my best ones was when Gene Keady and Lou Henson were there, and they were going back and forth, Hannigan said. It was awesome. Hannigan said he never expected the event to grow to the size it has, and was hoping the increase in attendance this year will be repeated next year, too. It's great everybody is coming out to support this event, he said. It's just word getting out, and everybody's having fun. They like the country atmosphere, I guess. Everybody's got a little hillbilly in them. Champaign City Council. Wine walks, raffles in offing due to liquor code changes. By Adalberto Toledo, Champaign. Wine walks and Queen of Hearts raffles will be coming to Champaign as early as this summer, now that Champaign City Council members have signed off on changes to the city liquor code. The wine walk, which the Champaign Center Partnership has pushed for, will allow patrons to go from store to store and sample alcohol. Supporters say it's a way to promote small businesses downtown. Were it not for the changes approved Tuesday, each business would have had to purchase its own temporary liquor license. Now only one is required for the whole event. Council members also voted to amend the original bill, which called for events to be no longer than 5 hours. It was changed to 4. And sampling sessions to take place between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. It was extended to 8 p.m., in part to keep crowds downtown during Friday Night Lights. We anticipate that an event like this would be well received, CCP Director Genevieve Kirk said. Development Services Center had expressed interest in allowing Queen of Hearts raffles, in which people buy tickets for a chance to pick the Queen of Hearts from a card deck. If it's not chosen, the jackpot rolls over. Some raffles are already allowed in Champaign, but in order for DSC to host its raffle at liquor establishments, council members had to change city rules. Council members also approved about $1 million in work for the Bradley Avenue project, which aims to address pedestrian safety after 2 fatal pedestrian accidents in the past 3 years. From the local section, American Academy of Arts and Sciences, U of I's Jones among inductees for 2019. By Julie Wirth, Champaign. University of Illinois Chancellor Robert Jones is among more than 200 new inductees to the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, honored for excelling in academia, business, government, and public affairs. U of I chemistry professor Catherine Murphy, associate director of the Materials Research Lab, was also named to the Academy's 239th class. The Academy was founded in 1780 by John Adams and others who believed the new republic should honor exceptional individuals and engage them in promoting the public good. Honorees come from diverse fields focusing on the arts, democracy, education, global affairs, and science. The 2019 class includes former Lady Michelle Obama, poet and Andrew Mellon Foundation President Elizabeth Alexander, Purdue University President and former Governor Mitch Daniels, journalist James Fallows of The Atlantic, author Jonathan Franzen, chemical and biological engineer Christy Anseth of the University of Colorado, economist Xiaohong Chen of Yale, business leader Charles Robbins of Cisco Systems, actress and playwright Anna Deavere Smith, and paleoclimatologist Lonnie Thompson of Ohio State. Jones, a noted crop scientist who has spent 3 decades in university administration, has been U of I chancellor since 2016. He previously was president of the State University of New York at Albany and held key leadership roles at the University of Minnesota. We're all delighted that Robert has been honored for his career accomplishments by this prestigious and long-standing academy, U of I President Tim Killeen said Tuesday through a spokesman. The academy is dedicated to advancing the common good through excellence in leadership that works across disciplines and divides. This has been the epitome of Robert's career. Murphy, who joined the U of I faculty in 2009, holds 2 U of I bachelor's degrees in chemistry and biochemistry, and a doctorate from the University of Wisconsin. Her research focuses on developing inorganic nanomaterials for biological and energy-related applications. The new class will be inducted in October in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Past members include Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Charles Darwin, Albert Einstein, Robert Frost, Margaret Mead, Milton Friedman, Martin Luther King Jr., and Antonin Scalia. Legally speaking, Mary Shank, who has been covering crime and courts for more than 35 years, chats with the headline makers on her beat. To hear the full podcast, visit news-gazette.com. Although April has been designated Child Abuse Prevention Month, that's the daily goal of the Crisis Nursery in Urbana. The so-called Island of Safety marks 35 years of service to children and families in Champaign County this year. Stephanie Record has been the executive director since 2008. With master's degrees in education and social work, Record is well equipped to deal with the daily operations of a place open around the clock, where no 2 days are ever the same. As the U of I's head cheerleading coach for the past 25 years, she has just the right tone to get the attention of her kiddos. Why do people come to Crisis Nursery? Every situation that brings a family to us is unique. Parental stress and feeling overwhelmed, homelessness, domestic violence that puts children in a risky situation. Our main goal is to provide that emergency care for them in that crisis so that kids aren't in that situation that could lead to harm. So we are preventing child abuse and neglect down the road. Who may come and for how long? We can serve 12 to 15 children depending on our staffing situation for each shift at one time. That varies depending on the needs of the children. We have to have 3 children per 1 adult. One of the benefits of the nursery is it's very easy to use our services. There aren't many barriers to accessing care. If you're in an emergency situation or a crisis situation, there's no one else you can call on that can support you, and you need our help, and we have space. We're going to do what we can to provide that support. We serve for an average of about 8 hours. It's a flexible maximum of 72. Tell us about your staff. We have about 30 people, a combination of full and part-time, because we have to staff the facility 24/7. A lot of our staff are college students who are close to campus. We have about 140 volunteers a week. They do 2-hour shifts, and that allows us to care for as many kids as possible. They're not ever unsupervised. We are a DCFS licensed facility. All our volunteers or staff have to go through a background check, fingerprints, physical, TB test. The nursery has branched out from providing just emergency respite care, right? We also have the Strong Families program, so we have master's level employees in those positions that provide direct support to families who are in need and also may be struggling with perinatal or postpartum depression. We also received a new grant for our Prevention Initiative program, so we work with children birth to 3 years old, really providing support to make sure they are ready for kindergarten. You completed an extension of the nursery in 2016. What's next? The next step, and the reason we continue to push and raise funds, is to increase staffing. The only way we're going to be able to serve up to 18 kids is to bring on more staff. The volunteer numbers are pretty high already, and it's important to have sustainable staffing in the facility at all times. Champaign County Court. 53-year-old man sentenced to 3 years probation. Search of home found suspected cocaine and heroin in ceiling. By Tim Dittman, Urbana. A Champaign man who has been sentenced to 3 years of probation after a search of his home 2 years ago turned up suspected heroin and cocaine in the ceiling. Judge Roger Weber handed down the sentence Tuesday to Lawrence McMillian, 53, of the 1700 block of Henry Street after he pleaded guilty to possession with intent to deliver heroin, a Class 1 felony. In exchange, prosecutors dropped a similar charge related to the cocaine and capped their sentence recommendation at 4 years in prison. U of I Police Lieutenant Joe McCullough said in spring 2017, the Champaign County Street Crimes Task Force had been looking into alleged drug activity by McMillian for a couple of months before asking a judge for a search warrant. The search of his home on May 2, 2017, turned up two bags containing about 5 grams of suspected heroin and 6 bags containing about 11 grams of suspected cocaine in the ceiling, plus scales and plastic bags. When officers arrested McMillian, he told them the drugs were for his own use and not for sale. Court records show McMillian has prior convictions for delivery of a controlled substance, unlawful use of weapons by a felon, burglary, and resisting a peace officer. Mohammed Seymour School District. Principal chosen as next Allah chief. Mohammed. Mohammed Seymour will be searching for a new high school leader after current principal Shannon Cheek was selected as the next superintendent of the Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond District. Cheek, whose hiring takes effect on April 11, will replace the retiring Kenny Schwengel at ALA. I am extremely grateful and excited to be given the opportunity to lead a district where its students, staff, and communities are dedicated and passionate about education, Cheek said. ALA officials said Cheek was selected from a pool of 32 applicants after a nationwide search that began in December. He has been Mohammed Seymour principal since 2011, after serving as assistant principal for 5 years prior to that. He started in the district as a teacher and coach in 1999. That article by Penny Weaver in the Mohammed Citizen. Piatt County Circuit Clerk. Passport processing ruling reversed. Monticello. With the help of U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican of Taylorville, the State Department has reversed its decision to cease passport processing at the Piatt County Circuit Clerk's office in the courthouse in Monticello. After a letter and calls from my office, I'm glad the State Department has agreed to reverse their decision, Davis said. The Piatt County Circuit Clerk's office is the sole provider of passport services in the area, and it doesn't make any sense to require people to drive to the next county just to talk to someone about getting a passport. The Circuit Clerk's office provided passport services to 113 applicants in 2017 and 74 last year. It was notified by the Chicago Passport Office earlier in the year it was deactivating facilities that no longer fill an essential need in the community as of April 15. Piatt Circuit Clerk Seth Floyd said the service generates about $3,000 in annual revenue. That article by Steve Hoffman in the Piatt County Journal Republican. Paxton Park District. Locals work to save swimming pool. Paxton. A group of local residents is working to find ways to raise money for the Paxton Park District to save its financially troubled swimming pool. A Save the Paxton Pool Facebook page has been created following the park board's decision to discontinue offering open swim in the daytime or on weekends this summer. As a result of financial constraints, among other reasons, open swim will instead only be offered from 6 to 9 every weeknight at Cody Park Swimming Pool. The group met for the first time Monday night to discuss ideas. A second meeting is scheduled for 6 p.m. on April 22 at the Cobblestone Hotel and Suites in Paxton. This meeting will be to get a few events in the works and start a committee, organizers said on the Facebook page. That article by Will Brumleave in the Ford County Record.